Welcome, everyone. This is Elaine Taylor-Klaus with Impact ADHD, and today is Thursday, January 26th, 2017. Mind-boggling. And we are on the Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time call, group call, and we are talking about not taking things personally today, which is, you know, an issue for everyone, parents, non-parents. I think it's sort of part of the human condition, so we'll have a great conversation about that. Let's start with check-ins and see where people are today and what's going on as we sort of start grooving into this new year, and then we'll go from there. So, Pam, you were here early, bright and early, and it's earliest for you where you are, so why don't you get us started?
Okay, so my daughter Lauren has mostly been pretty good, so I guess that's something
your
to check in with. She's been home, you know, reasonable amount of time, and had been engaging, you know, a little bit better with the family, which is good. Although, you know, I was just saying to Elaine, she was foul yesterday because I would drop everything and drive her to her friend's place, who lives half an hour drive away, with no notice. Anyway, so she was quite awful to me. So I'm very happy we're talking about don't take it personally.
But I will remind you, it's a great opportunity to help her find the motivation to get that, to get the training, the hours she needs for her license.
Well, yeah, but she can't drive well enough to even drive somewhere. She needs to have more basic lessons to actually just be driving.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's to at least start that conversation we talked about the other day. I think you've got a good handle on it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah. So, all right. So, other than recent developments of a little snarkiness and such, things have been on the up.
Yes, she has been better. She's been, you know, calmer for a while, and you know, I had a period of time where she was really nice to me, and yes, so I just have to kind of look at the long game and not the short game. And it's been a long time since she's been this awful to me, actually.
Yeah, well, and the reminder is, when that comes out of nowhere like that, or when it's been a long time, remember that there's something else going on, and that's what we'll talk about today.
Yeah.
It's really not about you, it's about, you know, what's going on, and probably the stress of not being able to drive, as we talked about the other day, is contributing to the behavior, right?
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. Okay, thanks. Who else? Sandy, what about you? What's quick bottom line update for you? Or a celebration?
We're supposed to be, like, the good one, right? The good news? Sorry about that.
Good news is always good. That was okay.
Okay. All right, I'll start with
what's something you feel like you can celebrate this week?
Well, my daughter's having a really tough time, tough year, as you know, and tough year academically, too, just the whole transition. And she finished off the second quarter. Every single one of her grades was up a notch. So I'm, like, really psyched for her. Like, this feels like, oh, okay, good, we're going the right direction.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Try
That's
this,
really
this new thing. Yeah, and try this new thing where she actually takes a bus every day to the library. To the library. Excuse me. Downtown library. I didn't really want the downtown one, but okay. We compromise, and that's where she goes. And then she calls from there, and we come pick her up. So, you know what? It's working, so I'm okay with that.
So you got a new system that's working, and you're practicing letting go.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like a really system per se. I know.
Well,
I'm trying
is.
To work on it. But you know what? Now it is. It feels like, yeah. It's
yeah, you got it. You're in a groove for something that's working. That's good. Cool.
Yeah. Like, she kind of proved herself. So now I'm much better. So, yeah.
Awesome. Amy, what about you?
Let's see. I'm good. We had the family dinner that I talked about, so so kind of getting started on that, going okay, and nothing too major.
how did your, just curious, how did your husband come around with that?
It was fine.
Okay.
I mean, I don't understand the aversion to it because it's never that big of a deal. I mean, we live together. It's like we can sit at a table. So anyhow.
Right.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, all good.
So that sounds like a success, not only in terms of something you wanted to do, but in terms of following through on a commitment.
Yeah, exactly. I realize it's going to be uncomfortable to kind of make some of these changes, but it was good to – it helped having that commitment, like, wait a second, I'm accountable here, and I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, I think that's it. You really struck something key, and I know that Pam, who's been here for a while, can affirm it, and Sandy, even you've been here for a while too. Okay, both of you. It's like, yeah, it's hard. It's uncomfortable to make these changes. This is not easy stuff.
You know. Oh, sorry.
No.
Go ahead. The hardest changes are the ones that involve me taking care of myself or
uh-huh.
seeing what's important to me. So
yeah,
I realize that.
Yeah, well, and so make the distinction there for a minute, and this may be a great segue into taking aim. But what's the difference between taking care of yourself and getting clear on what you want? Is that the same thing or are those two different things?
They seem different.
Mhm. Yeah.
I'm trying to sort out in my head how, though.
Right. And you don't need to know now, but I want
yeah.
you to see that they're different. Right? Because the way you phrased it initially was like it was almost the same thing, but it's actually not. Figuring out what we want or what we think is important or the direction we want to take our family, right? That's just that is probably the hardest part of everything we do. That's why taking aim can be so frustrating, right? Just
mm-hmm.
knowing and getting to that point of saying, wait, this is a value to me. I want to have family dinner. This is important to me, right? That's huge. And it is not the same thing as making sure that you're – it may be part of taking care of yourself because that could be living your values and fulfilling something that you care about. And so there is a self-care piece to it. But it's not always going to be.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Yep.
Right. Sometimes making the decision is going to be the hardest thing you do. Like I'm thinking about this one client I work with who's – she's a really smart, strong woman, but she's very, very shy. And so advocating for her son, which she made the decision she wanted to do, was certainly not a self-care piece for her in many, many ways, right? And she needed to do some self-care to get herself to the point where she could go have some of the conversations she needed to have. Because it didn't nourish her, it drained her. So we needed to sort of help her build up so that she could go talk to the school and deal with what she needed to deal with. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. I get it. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So where does that shed light for you today in terms of where you might want to take aim?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Process it for a minute. Let's go around. We'll come back.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Maybe totally, you may take aim on something completely unrelated, and that's fine. But just see if anything comes up for you, okay?
Okay, so I wrote a couple things down before the group that I was thinking
okay.
about, and this might have to do with this. You know, I have ADD as well, and so I commiserate with my son a bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think I verge on what might be self-deprecating or almost maybe putting myself down like it's a bad thing or I messed up again, sorry.
Uh-huh.
And it crosses a line from I get it, I feel it, I understand it, I live it too. And to the other side of...
To being self-critical.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what I hear there is wanting to be transparent and to take responsibility without self-judgment.
Right. Because I think that self-judgment then sort of ties into the taking care of myself.
Yeah.
It's all a bigger piece.
Yep. So I love that. So so the place to take aim is how do I take ownership for my mistakes, right, or mess-ups, or when I don't do something the way I want, without beating myself up?
Yes.
Right. And so just, and I'm sure y'all have heard me say this, but often when I work with ADD adults privately, one of the first things we work on is what I call put the stick down. Sandy, I know you and I have talked about it some. And so it may be that what you're really looking at here is how do you take aim on putting the stick down and being more accepting of your own humanness.
Okay.
Does that resonate?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
It's huge. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. I get that.
No.
But if you can put the stick down, let's start with put the stick down when I own a mistake, or put the stick down when I. If you can get even more targeted or take aim more specifically
okay.
on when you want to do that, you can begin to shift that. Because that's really an internal script.
Yeah, apparently it's a pretty loud script because I went to a cooking store last week asking for help with slicing vegetables, and the salesperson, as it turns out, he was a counselor at one point, so listened to me describe my cooking, and he's like, I think maybe you just need to lighten up on yourself a little bit.
I love it. Maybe it's a loud script. Okay.
Like, wow.
I think we're on to something
here. Yeah. So anyhow, thank you.
Yep. All right. So we'll start with putting the stick down and see if something comes up for you about more specifically where you might start with that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. Sandy or Pam, what about you two? Where do you want to take aim?
I think for me, I want to have this conversation with my daughter about, you know, the next steps for her around looking for a job. And it's just so hard to find a time because she's hardly ever here and in a space where I can engage with her. So it's a bit of a waiting game, really, and looking for the right opportunity.
Yeah, we're scheduling it.
Well, even now, I mean, I've tried to get her to schedule some stuff on the weekend, and she's just not engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard work at the moment.
Yeah.
And
Well, if you could capture the change you're trying to achieve, how would you label it or name it?
Well, I want her to get her resume updated so she can apply for a job, which is what she wants to do.
So the resume is a tactical strategy, right? It's a tactical piece. But what I'm hearing, though, you said, like, she's not engaged. And so the real change is to help her engage in what it's going to take to start looking for the work. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, although I don't know what the issue is because she's desperate to move out and she can't do that unless she has a job. And she can't get a job unless she gets CV up to date. And these are the things that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why it's so hard.
You don't understand what's so hard?
Yeah, I don't understand why when it's so important to her that she does this that I just can't get her to do, that she won't do, you know, won't even have a conversation about it.
So then it sounds like the place to take aim before you get into the strategy of it is to really get curious and collect some information about what's going on with her.
Yeah.
Because I know you well enough to know you know why it's hard for her. Like theoretically.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
You know it, you know all the different pieces of it, and you could recite me chapter and verse.
Yeah.
So what's happening for her now where she's not doing what it is she needs to do, she's starting to behave reactively to you or to not getting something that she wants. These are old patterns coming back, right?
Yeah.
At a major time of transition.
Yeah.
So the strategy I would offer you is curiosity, but the place to take aim really is on, okay, what's really going on with her? Helping her raise her awareness to where she is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine she's probably going to get more reactive as her friends start. Because, she wants this gap year, she wants to work, but her friends are going to start uni and she's going to be much more obviously stuck.
Yep. Yeah. So the other thing I will share is that you have one opportunity that you have on top of this is that you do have this last year of history of data to go back to be able to bring this conversation to her as you're beginning to collect information to say, I'm seeing a familiar pattern. It feels like you're starting to get stuck, frustrated, angry, reactive, whatever that is. Can we talk about what's really going on? So that may be an access point for you, but let's move on.
Yeah.
Back to that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And Vilma, hi, welcome. I know that you're here. Glad you're here.
Hi. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. So, Sandy, you want to take aim on something, and then Vilma will check in with you real quick and take aim and move into our topic. Sandy, where do you want to focus today? Your favorite thing to do, I know.
I guess along the lines of not taking it personally. I guess I'm just trying to my daughter over the last few days has really not been very talkative, just been kind of angry and quiet and, well, not always quiet, but, very, very frustrated, kind of like a little boiling kettle, this is ready to blow, and which did happen the other day, but they're trying to get at what is it that's, because I don't see anything that's really caused it per se at home, so I think that there's also something else going out maybe. There's a lot of things going on, but just trying to get her to open up a little bit just so I can try to help her, just try to better understand.
So very similar to Pam in some ways. It's sort of really taking aim on sort of understanding what's going on with her right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And Vilma, just a quick check-in and a take aim if you want to jump in, or if not, we can come back later. It's up to you. Is that cool?
Yeah, it's cool. Quick check-in, what I might want to take aim at. My daughter's doing really well.
Great.
Last I talked, I was extremely happy. She has, in fact, moved out for part of the week to be near campus, and she has stated and seems to be really working it, that her one focus is staying on top of her studies. I'm like, yay, awesome. And what I see, what I'd like to take aim at is to have her relax into that more than become, which she has a tendency to do, to become over obsessive, and then just when something goes wrong, give up. So I'm wondering if I can take aim on easing that possible future.
easing. So it sounds like you want to try to help her sort of pace herself in this process.
Yeah. You know, the hyper-focus is engaged right now.
Right.
And, you know, the result of that is some kind of negative event, and then boom.
Right.
You know, the drop into no motivation.
Mm-hmm. So is it about helping her stay motivated or helping her sort of manage her time and energy?
Well, I'd like to have it be managed for time and energy. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the aim. Yeah.
Okay.
The lack of motivation has a lot to do with failing at something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Before that.
So the success is good. But,
yeah.
And what I would offer is that, you know, she's now off on her own in some ways, and she's you can't control this issue of her managing her time, but you can help her.
No.
Be mindful and conscious of it.
Yeah.
You can keep her awareness up around it.
Yeah, without being a nag.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if you remember, but in Sanity School, there's a section about the four stages of parenting. You know, first we direct, and then we support. And so you're really moving into stage four with her.
Okay.
Which is supporting without enabling. I'm looking to see what page it's on. And in Sanity School Workbook, it's page 6. You have that one, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so you've been in this place, phase 3 of transferring ownership and supporting the organization, and you're probably still very much there.
Mm-hmm.
And where you're now beginning to dance is between phases 3 and 4, where you're beginning to empower and champion her and then go back to that supporting the organization when you need to.
Okay.
So just sort of being mindful of where you are in your process in relation to her.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Okay.
And Pam, the same is true for you. I mean, in both of these scenarios, you've got these young women who have demonstrated some success in one area, and you're starting to see the behaviors that happen when they're taking aim on something new. And so you're going to naturally step back a little bit and do a little bit more supporting until they're ready for you to be step back, go forward again as a champion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about not taking it personally, which is, you know, probably the hardest thing any of us ever face. And I joke a lot these days that my superpower is not taking it personally. And I'm really good at it with really everyone except for my kids. No, not my kids, my husband. I'm pretty good with my kids, but my husband's the only one that can still, like, push those buttons in ways that nobody else can. But it is a really hard thing to learn. I don't know whether it's societal, conditional, I don't know exactly what it is, but this tendency to take on other people's stuff and to make it about us, to take other people's behaviors and have them somehow be a reflection of us. That's sort of the quintessential parent experience. But it really happens in all of our relationships, if you think about it. It happens with our spouses. It happens in work dynamics. Somehow we worry about what we look like to others when someone else does or doesn't do something, right? And when something doesn't go the way it plans, the first place we tend to go is, was it my fault? Am I responsible? Did I do something, right? And so sometimes we deflect and we make it be somebody else's fault. And sometimes we like Amy was saying, we own it maybe even more than we need to, right, and beat ourselves up for it. But all of these all the different ways that it shows up are really about there's a judgment piece to it. You know, when we take it personally, we're judging it as right or wrong. You know, my kid's not respecting me, or or I'm a failure at this, or whatever that is, and our kids are having it too. But the truth is, it's that we're somehow personalizing, we're collapsing the distinction between who we are as people and behaviors. And, you know, if you remember when the kids were little and we were told, don't tell him he's a bad boy, tell him it was a bad behavior, right? It was not good to do that thing, but don't call him a bad person. And we do this all the time. We call ourselves bad or our kids bad, and we make it be about us, because we're collapsing and making the behavior be somehow a moral reflection of the person, whether it's us or them. So, and then the other thing I would say about this, and I know it's sort of theoretical, but this is a complex concept here, is that when we take things personally, it's a great vehicle for our kids to use to press our buttons, because they know if you're going to take something personally, they can trigger it, and that can deflect attention away from what it was that we were addressing in the first place, and now you're no longer talking about getting the homework done or loading the dishwasher or going to driving classes, but now we're talking about how we talk about things. Or, you know, Hal Runkle wrote the book Scream-Free Parenting, and he talks about it as in terms of, now I'm putting my kid in a position where they don't have to do what I'm asking anymore. Now they just have to calm me down, right? So trying not to take it personally is a challenge. It's a challenge all of us face. I don't know a single human that doesn't. But it usually is about either that self-deprecation that Amy was talking about earlier, or that tendency to deflect responsibility, to sort of look for to be a blame thrower, right? And both of those are because we are ascribing a value to behavior as good or bad. We're sort of judging the behavior. And if we could let go of that judgment and just let it be matter of fact what it is, it really helps us step out of taking things personally, which avoids the escalations and avoids the conflicts and helps us keep attention over there on our kids instead of letting them divert attention to us. So I'm going to stop there, and curious sort of whether that was too theoretical or if this is resonating with people. What are you noticing? What are you thinking about?
I was thinking about what happened with my daughter yesterday.
Okay.
And she wanted me to drive her to a friend's place. And, you know, I've got a lot to do. I'm very busy. I'm working again. And tomorrow night we have 90 people coming to our house for my older daughter's 21st birthday party. And I've got, you know, we've got people arriving from interstate tonight. So I'm kind of pretty
busy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. So out of nowhere, she wants me to drive her to her friend's place. And I say, look, I'm really sorry. You know, I've got a lot to do. But I'm happy to take you to the train station because I'm going to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. So I get an okay. And then she's just foul to me. You're just not there for me. And I'm just, and she was so horrible. And when I got to the train station, she says, you know, she just snarled and said thanks in a really sarcastic way and stormed off. Mm-hmm. And I was so upset. So when you say, you know, we ascribe a behavior as good or bad, it's hard for me to shift myself from that. And, I mean, that's bad by any definition, right? It's totally unreasonable. But mm-hmm. I managed to. I was quite upset and emotional, and I just managed to distract myself and thought, well, I'm just not going to stop and feel sorry for myself. I just have to kind of try and think about something else. I've got enough to think about. And, you know, when I distance myself enough from this, I'll be okay. So that's why it's hard when, by any definition, I think this is bad behavior. So how do I kind of get away from that to make it more neutral when I can't see it as neutral? I just see it as bad.
Right. Well, and so here's the thing. It is bad behavior. There's no question that that's, you know, inappropriate, disrespectful, thoughtless behavior. But I guess what this is about, this conversation is about, but it's really got nothing to do with you. Like, you know this kid well enough to know that when she's stressed, when she's disappointed, when she's starting to amp up, when things aren't going the way she wants, she has a really hard time being respectful. And in the past, pushing your buttons has got her what she wanted.
Yeah.
So she's like an old, an old dog who's going to go back and see, is this going to work or not? And if she doesn't get the rise out of you, and she doesn't get the response,
she hasn't been manipulative for a while. And this comment
around,
well, you're not there for me, is the classic manipulation, make me feel bad as a mum, and then I'll run around after it.
Mm-hmm. And you did that for a long time.
I did.
Right. So she's falling back into an old pattern. So that's where, and you did a good job of not reacting and not taking the bait. So this, the conversation here for you is to help you remember that it's really not about you. It's really about her. And that invites you to have some compassion, to get curious, to go, okay, what's going on? And, when we look at the big picture, we talk about everything that happened last week in terms of getting into school and the potential for the roommate. And she's got a big daunting task ahead of her, which scares the fever out of her, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense that she's going to start getting triggered.
Yeah.
So when you, and you get extra kudos for not reacting and not allowing the trigger to set you in that cycle with her, right?
Yeah.
By not doing it and not making it be about you, you then have that access to go back to her with curiosity at another time and say, man, I can tell something's really going on with you. Because I know that's, and we've talked about this before, I know that's not how you want to treat me, and that's certainly not, it's not how I want to be treated, and I know that's not how you want to be. Are you ready to talk about it?
Yeah.
But so I guess it's a helpful clarification. I'm not saying that the behavior isn't bad. I am saying that the person isn't bad, and 9 times out of 10, probably 99 times out of 100, it's got nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Other people's stuff is their stuff. And not taking it personally is really about not letting their stuff become our mistake, our problem, not letting it become ours. And that doesn't mean, Pam, that it's not going to hurt.
Yeah. Yep.
What's coming up for other people, either about what Pam's saying or your own issues? Where is this taking people?
Hey, this is Amy.
Mm-hmm.
It's good I had the phone on mute because I've been saying, oh, shit, a lot.
I'm glad. You can say that. I probably shouldn't. So.
Okay, wow. I mean, I'm definitely going to go back and re-listen to this call because there's like so much that I didn't know existed. And this is new language and new thinking. So thanks. I'm also going to call my mother and apologize for being such a bitchy teenage girl because I was one of those.
That would be the best phone call she ever gets.
Well, she's gotten many of them. Both my parents have. But, I think it's just time for another one after hearing this because I was the bitchy stomp off, storm off, all kinds of things. I love her desperately now, though, and we get along great. So, and I have a son. I can't imagine dealing with the hormones and the daughter thing. So, really, I joke with my son that if he had been born a girl, he'd have hit puberty when I was hitting menopause, and I would have wound up in jail for sure. So, I have so much admiration for
the women I listen to on these calls that have daughters, because you have so much more to deal with hormonally. That's all.
But you said
really
something interesting in there. You said that before you said it was new language. What was the new idea that you heard here?
I don't even remember because it's so much.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I wrote down, like, the timestamp. I looked at my phone. I was like, okay, start listening now. Like, this is where this information that's huge is, and I need to go back and literally write it down and think about it.
What was the timestamp?
About 25 minutes into the call is what I wrote down. It wasn't, you know, that's not exact, but and it's just the whole thought before, you know, and during the time that you were speaking about, I don't remember the man's name, but he phrased it somehow. Just as this whole thing is huge.
Okay.
And it just, it's like one of those Oprah aha moments or whatever for
okay.
me. So.
All right.
I don't know. But yeah, also really I have so much, I guess, love for the moms with the daughters and I don't know. Again, I was one of those really bitchy daughters, and it'll turn around someday because I'm really close to my mom now. So
yeah.
Anyhow, that's it. That's all I can say about this.
Well, and that's got to be great for people with teenage daughters when it's not smooth to hear. It's like that connection can reconnect. And what you're speaking to, Amy, which is so clear, is that it's really not about the mom. It's about what's going on in that kid's brain right now and life and hormones. And,
right.
You know, it's a really wacky time.
Yeah. I mean, I look back at my mom and my gosh, she was dealing with her own struggles. And, I mean, back then there was no medication or help or understanding or anything. I mean, that woman is tough.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't know how she made it. But anyhow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Thank you. And I'm confident there's acknowledgement. The people on this call are feeling validated by that. So,
I thank you too.
Who was that?
That's my intention.
It's Sandy. When you mentioned about the menopause and that thing all happening at the same time, I'm right with you there. Unfortunately, that's what I've gone through too.
Yeah,
going through
too.
Puberty at the same time you're doing menopause, it's really, really challenging.
Yeah, you've made me
sorry.
Cry. I'm sitting here on the other side of the world weeping.
Oh.
Yeah, and Diane's right there too. I mean, she's right in the middle of it too. My girls were nice enough to get out of the house before I started menopause.
It's wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? It's also a really good access point to understand, to remember what our kids are going through.
Yeah.
You know, when the hormones go wacko and you have absolutely no control and you're crying or screaming and it's like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. That's what they're going through. That's actually normal.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to teach my son, is all joking aside, you know, the girls that he's friends with, and he has a girlfriend, his first girlfriend, and I've been trying to tell him, I said, you know, it doesn't mean that they get to be rude and nasty and that that's okay. And yet, you know, they've got these uncontrollable hormones raging, telling their brains that this all makes sense and is real to them, and they've developed no skills yet on how to cope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just pretty raw. So,
And remember, Amy, your son's going through them too.
Yes, he is.
It's not as evident, but the boys are going through them too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they don't get permission to cry and to let it out and to release it in the same way. So it often can come out violent or angry or, you know, in other ways. But
right.
Every time I see my 15-year-old son cry, I'm so grateful. Because I know it's hard, but you got to get it out one way or the other. And I'd rather him get it out that way than start breaking walls.
It's true. I had a brother who did that option. So, yeah. Crying's good.
Thelma, what about you? What's come up for you?
What comes up for me is trying to deal with the hurt afterwards, mm-hmm. you know. And it kind of, over time, leaves a festering scar.
Yeah.
And that's a little disgusting, but, you know, and so I'm past menopause, so I can't use that as an excuse, but I'm easily teary-eyed about all this. You know, it's lovely to hear that it's actually an exhibition of strength when I really don't feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hard part. And then it takes me, at any one time, it just takes me longer to get back to just going on and, you know, pursuing my day.
Yeah. Well, so I'm curious because that's the message I'm hearing consistently from at least three out of the four of you is this feeling of like, okay, so if I don't take it personally, if it's not about me, it still hurts.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's just the emotionality of the communication is at a level where you just, oh God, it's like wavelengths, you know.
Yeah. So is there something in this message about other people's, and I'm going to use Amy's word, not mine, right? Other people's shit is their shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an opportunity for, hang on, my phone's just about to die.
Oh, dear.
Oh, goodness. I need to find another portable. Is there an opportunity in this notion of not taking it personally that can actually help ease the hurt?
Hmm. Okay, learned one. You've been through this. What do you say, Elaine?
I'm not sure that I know. I'm sort of raising the question.
Hmm.
And I think it probably is different for each of us. But so when we know what's motivating our kids' behavior, so like we were talking with Pam earlier about, okay, yes, she's behaving dastardly, but you know, experience has told us when she behaves like this, there's a reason, right? And it's usually her own insecurity and fear and
right.
all of that.
Right.
So when we get curious and go there, when we understand what's behind the behavior, does that shift the in some ways the hurt from us to them? You know, rather than it's hurtful that what she says to me, I can think maybe, wow, she's really hurting.
Yeah. I mean, sure, that does make it a little bit more acceptable to be, you know, that for me to be hurt, it's makes that more acceptable to know that it's just her crying out.
Mm-hmm.
But it still hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It did help yesterday, me just distracting myself. Because, you know, after she got out of the car, and I just wanted to pull over and cry. I nearly did, and I thought, oh,
I've been there.
I've got to remember, don't take it personally. It's not about me. And then, you know, I could feel my mind wanting to go into a spiral about how horrible she is to me. And, you know, we're going back where we were. And in the end, I just forced myself to drive on and, you know, throwing yodels at the supermarket and, you know, running around doing stuff. And I was, you know, didn't have time to be sitting down feeling sorry for myself. So, you know, in the absence of trying to get my head to move towards realizing it's about her and not me, that's really hard to do when I'm upset and triggered. It's just, I think, more effective for me anyway to just distract myself until I get past that point.
Right. Well, what I appreciate about what you're sharing, Pam, is that you were able to recognize it. You were able to, all right, so if we look back to the four steps to escape the stress cycle, right? First, you recognize that you're getting triggered in the first place. Second is you reclaim the brain. Third is you make up a new story that works for you, right? So you took a deep breath. You told yourself, don't take it personally. This isn't about me, right? And then you took action based on that, which was, I'm going to go do what I got to do. I got to take care of myself. Like, so for you, distraction was a bit of reclaiming the brain and a bit of sort of next steps.
Yeah.
But you were able to go to that place where you recognized you were triggered. You had some self-talk that you could guide yourself through to say, this isn't about me, and to believe that.
Well, I don't know that I believed it at the time because she was so awful. I couldn't get to that point. I couldn't get out of the being stuck. So the only thing to do was to actually, you know, change the subject for myself, which is go and do what I need to do. So focus on the process. Okay, I've got stuff I need to do. I've got a list. I've got things to get. I've got, you know, too many things to do to, you know, try and get myself to be feeling in a better space rationally. So just give it some space.
Right. But you had that message to tell yourself to allow yourself to even do that.
Yes, that's right. True. Yeah. Because right. I knew rationally it wasn't about me. And if I sat there trying to talk myself into it, it was going to be harder.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not about stopping the thought or the feeling, but it's about reframing it. It's about recognizing it when it's happening and giving ourselves another message that's more effective. So on some level, don't take it personally is a more effective message for us than my kid doesn't love me, my kid's disrespectful, I've done a terrible job as a parent, like all these other messages that we come up with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this isn't about me. My child is suffering, and I'm going to have to deal with that, but I don't have to deal with it right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is a reframe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure we will, any of us, get to any sort of action from here, although you might. But I am curious to sort of take a minute and regroup on what we've been talking about, because it's definitely a sort of deep, raw, emotional place that all of us land when we're having these encounters with whomever in our lives. And they generally happen most with the people we love the most, right?
Yeah.
Because we care, because it matters. And that's why it hurts. But I do want you to sort of take a minute to reflect and think about sort of what were you focusing on today and what are you taking away? What's the aha that's jumping out at you from here?
Well,
and if there's
one
commitment
thing
to action, that's great, share it. But if not, it may not come from this. But definitely I want to sort of really hone in on ahas today. Go ahead, Pam.
What I was going to say is, and it's really what I was also looking for when I joined this whole program, is the being able to share this these responses, this reaction, and knowing that others have similar, have those reactions as well. So I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm crazy, but secondly, it's just, okay, there's strength in just hearing our stories and sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. That's
and sometimes that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's not about what's the action from here, but it's just being in this space of, wow, this is one of the really hard parts of parenting these complex teenagers.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else?
I was just going to second that. This is Sandy. That just with the subject of don't take it personally, it helps a lot to not take it personally when you hear so many other people having similar stories. If it's not their child, and when they were growing up, it was their brother or sister or whatever, you know, whoever it was. It's when you hear other people have gone through something similar, it's super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the you know, the world would have us believe that we're the aberration.
Yeah. Yeah.
The truth is we're not.
I blame it on Facebook, too.
Yes, your life is good as it looks on Facebook, right? But this long predates Facebook. I mean, I'm thinking about my best friend when we were teenagers, and what a volatile, incredibly volatile relationship she had with her mother, who is now her best friend. Right? I still have a hard time forgiving her mother for how horrible she was. Truly. But she found forgiveness in her 20s, and all is well. You know? But they were horrible to each other. I think it's, you know, it really is. And now as an adult, I can look back and say, well, this was a kid with undiagnosed ADD whose mom still doesn't understand it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that gives me encouragement, Elaine. That there's hope. I think this has been helpful to remind me that I think she's probably terrified of whether she's going to be able to get a job and move out. And worried
yes.
she's going to be stuck living with this horrible family she's stuck with.
Yeah. Yeah, with the next stage for a kid in her situation, she just graduated from high school and just completed her school and got her grades and her scores, and she knows where she's going to university, but that transition phase is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when she doesn't want to take a typical path and go directly to uni with it, because she wants to take that break, everything is unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy, anything else for you?
No, just thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you all. I want to acknowledge everyone on this call for being honest and raw and candid. It's a hard conversation to have. And it's so valuable for all of us. So
yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing your A games, every one of you. Truly.
Okay. Now I have to collect myself and go back to work.
Yep. Go back to work. And Amy, when you figure out what that point was on the call, feel free to go post it on the forum and say, you know, listen to this call at this stage for this amount of time for anybody you think, you know, share it with other people. If it really resonates for you, it might be great to draw people's attention to it. And I'd love to see it.
Okay.
I'd love to go back and listen, because I never know what I say until I listen to it later, which I never do. So.
All right, will do.
Great. All right, have a great couple of weeks, everybody. Hang in there. Keep taking deep breaths, and don't take it personally whenever you can.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.